Message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca. Argo!
Let's do this. For some reason, it typed in Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, Jared, why don't you start and I'll play around here. So the game didn't end up the way we'd hoped.
No, it didn't end up the way we'd hoped. Unfortunately, I think a two-week hiatus with a season ticket holder event in the middle of it maybe impacted their edge. They always come back soft after 2 weeks, at least in the first half. Are you guys hearing me?
Yeah, go ahead. We're going to assume that you can be heard.
Okay. And what I really wanted to see was them to come out aggressively and pound
it
out.
You did this.
There we go.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Technology hates me. I'm not touching anything right now.
Okay, so.
Because it does hate you.
But you're good. You need one?
No, I need to go backwards.
Go backspace, right?
Oh, yeah, back. Let's try it again. I've never seen it do that.
They played games today.
So anyway, yeah, The Rock, I don't think I've ever seen such a soft game from these players on there. I don't know what it was. I know Nick Rose wasn't seeing the ball like he should. I also know that there were some feisty players out there. I was really proud of Jesse Gamble. He didn't give up for a second. He wasn't going to back down from anyone. Little number four took on a guy that had to be a foot taller than him and have another 50 pounds on him easy. And at that kind of intensity, you know he'll be back. And a fan favorite at that.
Total fan favorite, right? He did a great job. I'll tell you something. I was really impressed with the goaltending for Minnesota. The Swarm ends up with a Brampton goaltender, and I don't think I've ever seen so few five-hole goals in lacrosse.
You were saying that, and I agree. He stood up tight. And that guy for Minnesota was a walk-on.
Absolutely.
He wasn't drafted. So that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
Not only was he a walk-on, they had their preseason game, and they were just about to start their Buffalo first game of the season. The first game of the season, Buffalo is coming into Minnesota. And the coach decided to bypass not only the number one goalie, but the number two goalie.
He was three.
And they started with him at the beginning of the year. He surprised them with his ability. And to be honest with you, I think he surprised the Rock tonight with how good he can play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a very disappointing end to a season where this team, throughout the season, showed so much poise and intensity, passing ability, crisp, sharp, laser-like shooting, and to come out and put on this performance. I'm a dedicated Rock fan, but it's unfortunate.
Aaron, you know what you should do? Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over on this side? And then, or we can assume that you can be heard this way, or I can do this.
Why don't I do this?
Okay, guys?
So how am I coming through?
I don't know, because I can't hear you.
Well, why don't you put me in the speaking room first, and you may be able to bring me in.
You want me to do that?
Or did you hit dial?
Yeah, I hit dial. It won't hit. It acts up as soon as I start doing. You're welcome to play with it. Just don't boot us off the air.
Okay, I'll try to
What we can do is restart it. Hopefully it'll go away and then we can bring it back. Now, okay, so this is my volume. I'm assuming I'm fairly loud. Okay. Well, anyway, this is the silliest version of this show that we've ever done.
Hey, but makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is all trial and error. And to be honest with you, it's been a riot. I mean, it's too bad that they lost. Aaron, why don't you give us your summary of the game?
Well, the problem that you run into is when you let teams have runs, it sort of impacts it. When you don't do anything to actually try to actively stop the run, it becomes a problem. Soft defense, shots from the periphery, no physical presence whatsoever. And I hate to say this, but as a fan, I saw no drive, no heart. It just was not comfortable to watch at all.
If for those of you that didn't get a chance to watch the game, but let's say watch the Montreal, the last game of the season between Montreal and Toronto,
The Rock did a fantastic impression of the Maple Leafs. They did not look like they were interested in playing the game. They didn't look like they were even trying to win. And they were I guess the biggest thing I'd say technically, let's talk technically about what maybe they did wrong. Offensively, they weren't driving the net. The shots they were taking most of the game
outside.
Were from 25 feet. Can a team, Aaron, win shooting like that?
If you're dialing up long distance on goaltenders like Carlson, you're not going to be able to find the back of the net. It's not going to happen unless he has an incredibly off game. This is the nature of the beast, really. You have to be willing to get in close. You have to be willing to crash the net. You have to be willing to take it directly to the hole. If you don't do that, then you're not going to be successful. I think you just want to plug yourself, Frank.
I did.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
Just the sound.
Just a second.
Try these headphones.
But I mean, the real issue here is that they weren't willing to go to the hole. It didn't look like they were willing to penetrate. It didn't look like they were willing to take any chances on the inside. This is where you run into a lot of problems. And you know, they paid for it.
They paid for it big time. But you know, the team never recovered. There were only a few times where it actually looked like they might actually do something, and it didn't appear that they were doing it with any kind of regularity.
It's a little bit that way because you don't want them that close to
you. Okay. That's the way I saw it anyway.
That was it. You know what? If you hear disappointment in our voice, everyone, because, you know, we were really, really optimistic about this team going somewhere to the end, and rightfully so. They were playing some excellent lacrosse. I mean, they finished in first place. So why wouldn't we be expecting of this?
Well, they kind of backed into first place overall.
That's true.
Let's be honest here. They had a gangbuster season. They really did. 10-6. Actually, you know what? Here's what's really funny. I remember when 10-6 was barely enough to squeak into the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and that's happened on a couple of occasions. So
that's also, Aaron, wouldn't you agree that's a result of the parity in the league?
Most definitely. I mean, this is one of the most well-matched and well-balanced leagues, with the exception of Buffalo. But that happens occasionally. You get a team that's a real sleeper.
Well, the one good thing about this is now that Rock season's done, the CFL season starts.
Go Argos! Argos! We have a few people
who can hear the voice.
There's a few people out there that are thrilled with being able to hear us, and I am dying to see if I can make this work at all. Anyway, that's the number, right?
Yeah.
You can see it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the number, correct?
Yeah.
That's right now.
You hit dial, right?
Yeah. Dialing. I'm only going to hit it once and leave it alone. Okay. So the team today, I mean, if you're in the dressing room and if you're ownership, you can't be very pleased with what happened out there.
No.
What can we expect from...
I'm very much surprised with this because Troy Cordingley and Terry Sanderson has set up a sound system of play for their team. They set up, it was relatively okay. Unfortunately, Nick Rowe, being a positional goalie, he does let in those soft rules. But they're situational coaches, so they're system coaches, but when it comes up on the team, they do their homework, they do their research, they watch our video, and they build a good game plan. I didn't see that. I really didn't see that. I don't know what happened to them, but I didn't see that.
They didn't play well, and I don't think they deserved to win today.
They were all playing.
I don't know how much, we don't want to go down a road that starts making it sound like excuses, but I don't know how much they're used to playing in the afternoon on a Sunday.
They haven't had a good record on a Sunday. What is it, Aaron? What is the Sunday record?
Pretty crappy. I think they lost both games that they played during the season on Sundays.
So they were consistent this year?
Oh, yeah, consistently awful on Sundays. But these are the quirks of the system. This is the way that it sort of breaks down. You can't always get what you want.
I'm reasonably certain most of Rock Nation would have preferred to see something, you know, on probably a Saturday.
Let me ask you a question, because that raises an issue. What other rewards can there possibly be for the team that finishes first overall? I think they should be able to pick the date that they play. And the Rock should be
good if the Maple Leafs didn't have weren't in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. So
and that hasn't really been an issue for the past 9 years.
But hang on a second. The Leafs weren't playing tonight. They were not playing here for a week.
There's been a concert last week.
Oh, okay.
You have to understand, in terms of priority, there's the Leafs, the Raptors, concerts,
circuses,
puppet shows,
motocross,
library selling bees,
fashion shows,
and The Rock. That's both.
There's a few more in between.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've left a few up.
And the ironic thing is our season ticket base is still bigger than the Jays. And we still lack, you know, I know we're a niche market, but with the exception of this game, everyone I brought to a game has fallen in love with this sport. I mean, I even had a first timer at this game, and he said the game was, it wasn't pretty, but he really could see the skill of these guys and what they need to do and what they're able to do with the roster on both sides of the ball.
So the team now, they go home unhappy. Ironically, for those of you that love the game of lacrosse, and if you're only interested in The Rock, there's other reasons to basically watch the lacrosse game and be still interested in the NLL, and that is that some 85% of the players come from Canada, and I guess it was for that 50% of them come from the Greater Toronto area. So, and for example, the goaltender today, who basically Tyler Carlson, he was literally a wall tonight.
Shut the front door.
Now, you can't give all the credit to the goaltender because the shots on goal until they got far behind, and then the Rock was trying desperately to at least put the ball towards the goal. The shot clock started to favor, The Rock only in the last half of the game. But regardless, when they finally did put pressure, it didn't work for them. Well, if you were to review the season, Aaron, it's a season that saw them finish first overall. Summarize the season for us.
There were some bumps and some missteps along the way, as it happened. One of their first home games, they lost to Philadelphia 10-9. The owner, Jamie Dalek, was understandably not happy with that result. He tweeted as much. I've actually been perusing his Twitter feed to try to see if he said anything about this game. So far, he's been silent. I can take to mean he doesn't trust himself to go on Twitter and talk about the game, which is understandable because the game, pardon my French, was an absolute crap show. But the Rock season in general has been very positive.
It was a good season. I got my money's worth of ticket holder, and it was enjoyable.
Most definitely. Nick Rose proved himself as a top-flight positional goaltender.
But he didn't prove himself as a playoff goaltender.
No.
There's no escaping the fact that it takes a certain personality to win in the playoffs.
And it's the same thing that happened this year happened last year as well. He kind of choked against Rochester last year. But it's the same situation we ran into. I mean, it's hard to say. He's a young goalie. He's still developing. He's got a great skill set. At 6 foot tall, 285 pounds, he's a big boy. He takes up a lot of the net, which means a lot of the times he's going to get blocking stops. So as long as he's in his position, that's great. However, when teams start to low post, when teams start to pull air gates from behind the net, that's when he starts to get into problems.
And an air gate would be back up by the ball to his back and going in the net. So
jumping in the air in the crease and putting the front of the lacrosse stick, the basket, and shooting, chucking the ball in behind the goalie without him.
Tonight there were a few of those, and they were also the ones that I was alluding to, which were the ones diving in the back of the back half of the crease.
Yeah,
the back court. And flying in the air and bouncing the ball off the back. So Rose had some mistakes. He didn't look that great.
He didn't look that great.
But like you said, he's a young goaltender. But unfortunately, a team can't wait. A
for three or four playoff seasons to see a great game out of their goaltender.
No, that's true. They can't. But the NLL format is one and done. So it's even more important that you be absolutely on top of your game. Now, next year, there are probably going to be some there are probably going to be a lot of personnel changes around the roster. Odds are, because Colin Doyle is getting up there, this is probably going to be one of his last seasons, if not already his last season. I'm sure he would have loved to have gone out winning. Manning would probably be going. Cam Woods, Casey Beeren, a lot of these guys are older. Stephen Moore might be going as well. These are all older players. Now, again, this is speculation on my part. I must reiterate, I'm not affiliated with the team. This is just as a fan, I'm observing this sort of thing.
We are in no way employed.
No, we are not. We wouldn't say half of the crap we're going to say.
Yeah. Really? Oh, we could say more.
Wow.
No, we can't say any. We're here for one reason and one reason alone, and that is we like to support the Rock. Yeah. This is basically, we were, and let's be honest, this was a trial run, this show that we're doing tonight. It was really going to be a trial run for the bigger finish than the one we saw tonight. So I'm disappointed on many angles here. I'm disappointed the team didn't do well, and I wanted to support them. And for those of you that enjoy the game of lacrosse and don't know how much fun it is to watch in person, I ask you to give it a chance again next year. And all you have to do is just Toronto Rock, and I think it's .ca, right?
No, .com.
.com? Okay. So if you go to torontorock.com and check it out, and maybe you can join us for some time, at the games.
And absolutely, join us before the game. A couple of announcements. I'd like to thank Joe Vidalis and the Overdraft for their excellent hospitality of the Rock Roadies Fan Club. We look forward to being here again next year. So, and with CFL season coming, make sure you come by Joe Vidalis and the Overdraft and enjoy yourself before and after the game, because the noise you hear in the background is the lacrosse community just coming together for the last time of the season and before we venture out, before the Argos start there.
Now, the other thing I want lacrosse fans to know is it's not quite all done yet. Jared just mentioned that. It's going to be talking about the Summer Bowl. And when I mention Summer Bowl, I'm talking about major series lacrosse in Ontario. I'm talking about teams in Brampton, Peterborough, Six Nations. It's really awesome. What basically happens is all of the same players that play the National Lacrosse League also play in Major Series Lacrosse in Ontario. So you can go see all of the same players, but for $10 a pop, $12 a pop, as opposed to buku cash. Yeah, and the Summer Bowl really is a bit of a different animal than the National Lacrosse League. The way it works is there's a league set up in Ontario and a league set up in BC. And at the end of the summer, they have what's called the Man Cup. It's M-A-N-N, not M-A-N. It's called the Man Cup, and it's a competition between the best team from the West and the best team from the East. And they get together and play a playoff series, and the Ontario champion plays BC champion for the richest trophy in sports history.
It's made of gold, folks.
It's made of white gold, and it's worth about $250,000.
Well, that's one thing I guess the players don't get scared of.
No, I'm talking
about the replicas. Summer Bowl is a fun game to watch. I call the Brampton Excelsiors.
Which is the team that our goalies really played for.
Yes, yeah, that's right, Mr. Colson.
And Brampton usually lands in very good weather. It was Bob Watson and Anthony Cosmo, and now it's this lad. So it's a good thing. He's a good player. I'm optimistic. But with the training facility and everything they have, the Rock are going to retool a bit, and then they're going to move on.
Let's also consider the fact that the Toronto Rock are still playing in the ACC next year. Their contract goes. You have to look forward to seeing them playing there. They've got a contract going on a little longer. So the venue won't change, as far as we know. So that's where they'll be playing. So for next year, the Toronto Rock, we grazed over the fact that possibly, there might be a lot of moves. What kind of moves do you anticipate? Would it be heavy on forwards, defense, coaching?
It's coaching is
Well, Jared mentioned coaching. It might be a possibility. At this point here, I'm thinking a couple offensive players and a couple defensive players. The Rock are actually one of the older teams in the league. I say the word grizzled with a certain amount of respect in air quotes. They are one of the teams that has been together for the longest. In terms of that, durability may start to become a factor. Certain parts may wear out and require replacement. They're no longer as young as they used to be.
And how much of an impact does how you lose in the championship game have on retooling?
There's going to be a lot of introspection. My one hope, however, is that Jamie Golic doesn't pull the trigger too quickly.
Doesn't blow it up.
Yeah, I agree. There's no reason to blow the Rock up. No, I don't think so. Certain retooling can be done, but
fine-tuning, playoff experience, or what have you. I think also these veterans, what I'm finding here is when I talk to these guys, which you can... players are very approachable. A lot of the veterans don't play summer ball, or they play a limited schedule in the summer ball, right? Kind of get ready. So I'd love to see James goes back with such grit. I'd love to see Chappie. Blaine and Colin, they still got it, but we definitely need youth, speed, and size.
I think that was our Achilles heel today, is the fact that we really couldn't run with them. Time after time after time, fast breaks down the floor, and Minnesota was beating us to the hole, and that gets to be a problem. When you have players that can create open looks for themselves just by speed alone, not by passing, not by anything else, that gets to become an issue. It becomes very glaring. And I think it did. During the first quarter, they had a 3-goal run, 3 goals in 2.5 minutes. During the second quarter, they had a 4-goal run. I've got a game sheet here somewhere. Give me a second. I'll see if I can find it. I'm going to toss it back to Frank just for a second. But...
And what I saw in Minnesota was probably some of the most devastating body check hits that I've seen as a Rock fan. And that's 9 years being a fan of this team. Guys hit so hard, a yard sale. Sticks, helmet, and feet. Which is incredible because, any lacrosse player, they look, even when they look small on the floor, they're pretty big boys. And Minnesota was leveling some of these guys. So that's what I say, use speed and size.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job, and the teams also gave us a semi-good show. At times, it was disappointing to the fans to watch. And
heartbreaking.
And what was really sad is when they got so far behind the fans, it became very quiet, very, very quiet.
Oh, it was,
I thought you were going to sit in with them.
You're live right now.
Sure.
Sit down for a second. Well, you're not actually on the air right now.
Yeah, we're on the air right now.
Rather unorthodox, but okay.
Okay. You have to introduce yourself.
Well, talk radio.
And introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. Zach Pakin here, a fan of the Toronto Rock and a good friend of Jared Harris and Aaron Freeland as well.
What did you think of the game tonight?
It was quite disappointing. I think we could have done a lot better, and I know it's somewhat cliche, but it came down to goaltending. We still outshot the Swarm, but at the end of the day, the Swarm, the goaltender stood on his head, and both of our goalies were just unable to stop the ball.
What do you think of next year? Do you think they have to make any changes? Any changes you see on the horizon?
Well, we're certainly going to have to bring in a new goaltender one way or another, for starters. Maybe an extra star player here or there, but the team we've got, has, solid foundations. It's a team with a lot of experience, whether it's Blaine Manning or Colin Doyle, or even Garrett Billings, who, has had 2 back-to-back 100-point seasons. He's been unbelievably impressive in my view. But it's an older team. I think we've got the ability at this point in time to reload if we bring in one or two key players, particularly a goalie. It's not the time to rebuild just yet. We've had 2 years in a row where we've been first place in the East Division. Let's just move forward and try to do it again next year.
Zach, it was a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Don't want to keep you too long. Say hi to Dad for us.
Will do.
If you don't know who his father is, I can tell you who his father is. His father's Steve Pakin. So he's on. If you ever want to know anything about Canadian politics, his dad is very. He's not really. I wouldn't call him of a political stripe, at least the way he does this show.
No, Steve Pakin is actually very dialed in. He has his fingers in lots of pies, but he's not actually affiliated, as far as I know.
But he does a very, if you watch Channel 19, one of the good reasons why that station should exist. I'm pretty, it's not your Fox radio.
his show, The Agenda, on TVO is one I try to pass to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because it's very important. I just wanted to throw something out there for folks here. I have a bit of stuff here that I'm looking at from the first quarter. Minnesota scored at 357, 742, 10:06, 10:47, and 11:24. Of those goals, they had 5 different goal scorers. They had 8 different people that got assists. This points to a very well-balanced attack. It also points to the fact that the goalies, the Toronto Rock goalies, are unfortunately liable to letting runs happen. This is a problem. Zach mentioned that they need to get a new goalie. I don't think they need to get a new goalie. I think, again, this is a case of Nick Rose needing more seasoning. The problem is playoffs really aren't the time to do it. He had a stellar, stellar season. He finished 3rd overall in save percentage this year. So he had a very good season in that regard. The problem is for clutch games, he seems to almost choke, which is rather unfortunate. As for retooling, I know Zach mentioned Colin Doyle and Blaine Manning. Both of those gentlemen, Colin Doyle's been tenured with the Rock for the past 13 years. Blaine Manning's been tenured with the Rock for the past 9, I believe. That's a long, long career. I mean, even guys like Stephon LeBlanc played for the Montreal Express, I believe, back in 2002. Cam Woods has been around for a while. He played with the Albany Attack back in 2001, 2002. I had the pleasure of watching him play for the opposition. Same with Josh Sanderson, back when the Rock won in 2002 for the first time on the road. I mean, there's a lot of long tenure players here. Just off the top of my head, I can think of 1, 2, 3. Well, Chris White has been around for at least a decade with the Buffalo Bandits before he came to the Rock. Rob Marshall has been around for a good long time himself. They are a graying team. That's the problem. And when I say graying, I don't necessarily mean they're all old farts. I just mean, you know, they're aging. So this is definitely going to be a concern going forward.
Is it a concern you need to worry about?
Well, when you look at what we've got here, Colin Doyle, I think, only really re-signed this year because he wanted another run at the championship. And Colin's 37, 38 years old now. He may be younger than I make him out to be. But I mean, playing in this league for that long is a certain amount of punishment. So that's okay. Lori Versi just came over. She's a
come on, Lori, say hi. I'm looking.
Lori, come say hi.
Hi,
Lori. Lori is friends of Argonaut. And one of the things we'll be doing too is we'll be having meetups where you'll get an opportunity.
Cool.
Where you'll get an opportunity to meet up with your favorite Argos, and we'll talk about. I know that Jarrett's running away now because we're talking Argos.
Well, so he's.
I'm not running away. I'm going to sit with family for a second.
That's
right. I think he's going away because he's got to go make an OCPP.
Well, the last time I believe that the Ticats won the Grey Cup was 1999.
Oh, my goodness. It wasn't even in this century.
It wasn't even in this decade, that's for sure, yes.
Well, you know, when you reach 2 decades worth of futility, I think you have to start to worry about your team.
Exactly.
Which is maybe why they're moving to Guelph for this season, for their Canes, as opposed to, you know, the fact they couldn't get the new Ivor Wynn built in time.
Now, we do have a Grey Cup champion in the house.
Absolutely. We're going to go.
He
stepped away for
a bit. He took a break, but he's on his way back.
Yeah, we'll get him. We've got 32 minutes left in the show. It's been an interesting. Let's give us your review of what you saw tonight.
It was obviously very disappointing and a real shocker. I mean, I plan to attend the ACC the next 2 weeks, and I think everybody felt the same way. So it's quite a shock. I think it'll really hit home when I wake up in the morning. But, you know, you gotta love the Rock, and you know, they gave us an entertaining season. It's very unfortunate that things turned out the way they did. But when Edmonton lost last night, I thought, you know, it could happen again. It could happen again. So there's never any guarantee. If you finish first, there's no guarantee you're going to make it to the championship. And it was proven last night and today.
It's not the first time that the favorite team lose.
and are upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time. After all, the Argos won the Grey Cup almost in that fashion. Almost, not quite, but almost in that fashion. They weren't the lowest team in the league, like the Swarm were.
Yeah.
But they were the next.
Well, you know, Montreal was leading the pack, as they always do. Perennially, they're always leading the pack, and, you know, there was every reason to believe that they would be in the Grey Cup again. You just never know. You get caught at the right time. And, yeah.
Let's bring Paul and Annette. We'll bring Paul and Annette's son here. We're going to talk now to Paul and Annette's son, and we'll get them over here, and we'll have
an Argo. I'm going to introduce them as Paul and Annette's son.
Shh. Very evil. They shouldn't do that with guys that are like 6 feet something. And
yeah, that's right.
I guess if he's going to do it, this is. I'll remind you again, we're downstairs in Joe Badali.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here with Annette and Paul's son. Yes, Jason Pottinger. For those of you that follow the show, you might recall that I had his parents on, and his mom did awesome. I know she was nervous, and we were talking about how nervous she might have been, but Annette really had a kick out of it. She had a lot of fun, and I'm glad she did. And I met your dad, as the Argos tend to do. The Argos tend to do a lot of charity functions, and we met at the Sick Kids Kiss,
yep.
Which was Adriano Belli. I guess he was the spearhead of that, and we met a lot of Argos. And in fact, some Thai cats were there as well.
Yes.
Hey, maybe this is the end of 1999. So Jason, that big introduction. Listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Did you go to the game? You went to the Rock game?
Sure did.
Give me as an athlete your interpretation of what you saw.
Well, apparently, according to the ladies that I went with, I was the bad luck charm. Apparently, the loss was my fault. I take full responsibility. You know what? It was a tough game. It was a tough game to watch. We were outmatched in pretty much every phase of the game other than shots. Their goalie played phenomenal. In all honesty, I think their goalie just had a great day and really stepped up and you know, not to take anything away from the rest of the players, but their goalie was hot.
Yeah, you know, and to be fair to the Rock and their offense, it looked pretty sick out there today. But they hit a beginning of the game, they hit a bunch of crossbars, and you know, it's a lot of, for football players, it's like a lot of drop passes, they hit the numbers and they don't make the catch.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, and but unfortunately, what makes the difference between winning and losing is that fine line, and that fine line tonight for them was the crossbar, and the one shot, did you see the shot that went between the legs and then hit the crossbar?
No, I probably saw it, but I can't recall it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I remember at least three.
Yeah,
that went off the crossbar. At least three.
There were five.
There was five on the crossbar.
There were three posts, two crossbars. So okay. Put those in. The entire complexity of the game changes because it was so close when it happened.
And that's what I'm. That's what I'm.
Bug goes crazy. It's the fact that the game could have been completely different if there had been close half an inch difference of where the ball was traveling.
I think you're right, and it probably added to their frustration.
Absolutely.
That much more, just seeing it.
Absolutely.
So close but not dropping in the net. Right?
I do have to give credit to Coach Courtney, though, for not sending out the dogs. When the game got completely out of hand, we're looking at 14-7. When you're looking at 16-9, the fact that Troy just put out the muckers and the grinders and the guys that are willing to drop them and go, that shows a level of control and respect for the opposition that you don't normally see. Had this been a Buffalo game, it had been that out of hand, you can guarantee that Garris would have sent out the fourth line for all of us. However, in this game here, in the playoffs, the Rock actually, I think, did the classy thing by trying to make the game closer by keeping their scorers and their finesse players out there. With the exception of Gamble, because he's just an animal. That number four?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the way he took us to, I can't remember who it was, But he showed him who's boss, eh? After he took that little lick out there.
Oh, the lick from behind.
Yeah, the lick from behind. Yeah. He stood up for a guy that's a couple inches shorter than his opposition. There, he took him to town, got him to the ground, and embarrassed him.
It looked to me like he had at least 8 inches to overcome.
Potentially, yeah.
It looked like about 6 to 8 inches. He was much shorter. But he was angry, and I was yelling from the stands. What they didn't do for me tonight was they didn't play angry. And I think one of the biggest things in lacrosse, I don't take this the wrong way, but I think it is anger management. It is a very violent looking sport.
Very
violent looking. Like a lot of the hits that they're doing don't hurt anybody, but it looks kind of violent, especially all that slashing and stuff that you're not used to seeing in hockey that people don't get away with. Can we switch over to football? The years, you're only a few, about 70, 80 days away from starting over again.
Are we that close?
Pretty close. Yeah.
Jeez, yeah. My body can't wait. No, you know what? Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting close. Actually, we're just over a month away from the June 1st report date. I'm excited for the season. I can't wait to get the season going. Nobody gets excited for training camp. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. Training camp sucks. But you know what? Training camp is a necessary evil. But, yeah, I can't wait for that game one against Hamilton at home. It's going to be great. I hope we can get as many fans out as possible to kind of, kickstart our potential repeat season, our planned repeat season.
It's going to be difficult. There's a lot of lessons that have been learned historically from teams that win. It is not easy to repeat because you have a giant target on your back. And,
yep.
And when you add that, the CFL more than any other league has some real hate on for the opposition. There are some teams that, like, if you go to a Calgary-Edmonton game or a Hamilton-Toronto game, there's a bit of hate going on. So we know that those kind of games you're going to have to be up for. And then all the other teams are basically going to feel the same way. You've got that big target on your back.
Yep.
What's the plan in your mind mentally to overcome or at least weather that kind of storm?
You know what? Honestly, the biggest thing, and I'm already predicting it. The biggest word of the year is going to be complacency, and with a big no right in front of it, right? I don't even think we deserve to be complacent because it's not like we dominated last year.
No.
We just capped off a roller coaster season with a flurry. So, I don't think we're going to come in complacent by any means. I think we might come in a little proud. We might come in maybe with a little cockiness, but we're going to have to get rid of that as soon as possible because, you know what? What did Pinball always say? Pinball always said something I'm probably going to get wrong, but he said, if you're still thinking about what you did yesterday, you're not doing much today. You know what I mean? And if we come in with the attitude of thinking what we did yesterday was, the be-all and end-all, we're not going to do a whole lot today. So, yeah.
Next year is going to be the year where all the players and the team, management, everybody, and even the fans, there's going to have to be some management on expectation. I maintain, and I make this crack about the Blue Jays and what they did in game one when they had that big, they went on for, it seemed to be like 45 minutes of telling everybody how wonderful a team they had. And I think, I mentioned, and I've mentioned to some pretty impressive people, they disagree with me. They say, players don't notice any of that stuff. I kind of disagree. I think players do. I mean, when you start, when the press starts saying the Jays are going to win, what do you think is on? You guys have a blackboard, right?
Yep.
Where somebody does or says something on the other side that you want to, you can feed off, right?
Yep.
And nobody believes me when I say that. And I think in sports more than anything, you have to accept reality. And the reality is, as of yesterday, there's nothing. Everything's about tomorrow, and the only way to get tomorrow is today. You have to work today to get to tomorrow.
Yep.
What you said about complacency actually reminds me of something my old high school German teacher used to say. My old high school German teacher is actually Mike Eben. He used to be a wide receiver for the Toronto Argonauts back in the 70s. Yep. He always said, you know what, if you're always looking back, you'll never see it coming.
Yep.
And that was his whole philosophy. You can't rest on your laurels and be satisfied with what you did last week. Because if you don't, next week is going to kick your ass.
So we've got a team. We've got a team that has lost a few players. It usually happens whenever a team wins a championship. You know, the budget has to be maintained. Everybody wants to get their value or be paid for their value. So there's no, in my opinion, there's nothing negative to say about the players who aren't here anymore. Just like there's only good to say about the players as a fan of the Argos, but the players that are actually still here.
Yeah.
There's a few players that now we're hoping are interchangeable. Do you know anything about the players that are coming in, the new guys that are coming in, like Kawhi, I'm not even about them, from BC.
Khalif Mitchell.
Well, you've got Khalif Mitchell now. And you've got some players like Khalif Mitchell that have retired. I'm referring to Belly, Adriano Belly. Everybody say, okay, bye. Say bye, everybody. Bye.
We got a great crowd here.
Yes, we do.
What are you doing in a bar?
Yes, yeah. We do. And you find that when it comes to the players that are coming in, he has a reputation for being a mean guy who's not liked, if I'm not mistaken. I seem to recall that Adriano Belly was the same way. And then he came back here and coach at the time, it was Coach Barker, that really impressed upon him how to control himself. And if they can do the same thing with Khalif Mitchell, you've got a good replacement for Belly.
You know, I think you're right. You know what? The one thing I'll say about Khalif Mitchell is that when I watch him, I see a giant man that is very strong, has great technique, and can play. I mean, he can play. There's no doubt about it. He's a phenomenal football player. So, he might have some control issues. But you know what? Sometimes when guys have an extreme amount of passion, they just need to learn how to manipulate that passion into positive play, as opposed to, you know, making some mistakes that they might regret on the field.
And ones that the coach won't like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
right.
Exactly.
You don't want penalty flags. But then again, you always got to have a few players to play on the edge. And ironically, that's what I think was missing from the Rock today. And actually. Aaron pointed out and said, you know, he didn't send out his tough guys when they were starting to lose. But that, to me, in the sports scheme of things, is almost like giving up.
Yeah.
You know, that's when your team should say, like, look how much the fans enjoyed. And we're talking about the fight where the smaller guy for the Rock took on the giant guy for the Swarm, and everybody was proud of the fact that he stood up for himself. And that's part of winning, isn't it?
Yep.
Especially with football. With football is, you've got 9 million battles going on. Okay, I'm exaggerating. You
not
know,
quite 9 million.
9 million, but you've got half that.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of battles going on that a lot of people don't even see. So the interpretation of winning is based on actions that many a fan doesn't see. Give us an idea of some of the stuff that you guys try to do that people maybe don't notice and how you keep doing it. Because you're not appreciated for what you do sometimes, especially a guy in your position.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, yeah, there's so many little tiny dynamics people definitely don't see. But, I mean, they see the outcome, which is good. So if all the little things that you do, for instance, you know, if I'm playing on special teams and I'm playing on punt team and me and the guy beside me plan to, you know, there's little things where, okay, you know what, I'll chip your guy, you know, and you get off free, right? So I'll run up and I'll chip his guy, maybe even stick my foot out a little bit, right? And maybe he accidentally trips. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Just little things that bend the rules, but at the same time stay within the boundaries of the rules. And, you know, the final result is maybe that guy that I helped get a free release ends up making the big special teams tackle. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
those are the things, so the fans see the result, but they don't necessarily see the little tricks in between.
The difference between, I've made friends with Corey Boyd.
Yep.
And I love him like a brother. And he left the team. He was released, and a lot of people wondered. And the reason he was left was to make room for a kid named Cackard, whom I made fun of on our show about his size. And that wasn't very bright. Thank goodness I'm not that close to him. I didn't mean it as an insult. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say here is that Chad Cackard, may or may not be a better running back than Corey Boyd. And I said this to Corey on the show. You know, there not only do you play a position, there's a different way to play each position.
Yes.
And when somebody sees a pass that's completed, when Ricky Ray's in the pocket and he's not getting hit, he has, rather than 2 seconds or 3 seconds to throw the ball, he has 4 or 5, which, folks, is a big difference. It's a big difference in pro ball. The credit for that sometimes goes to guys like Packard, and that was the discussion about why he came in and Corey didn't. It wasn't Corey's skill set. When you guys won, the biggest thing I noticed is that you played more like a team. That's got to be difficult, you know, because when you see a guy, a back, break out of a group and run in a hole, it looks like he's doing it all himself. But there's like 8-10 guys in the immediate vicinity who create that opening.
Yep.
And how hard is it? Like, this is the thing I noticed about football players. You guys are very team-oriented, and you do understand that even a small, like you said, little small idiosyncrasy, a little tiny thing that goes on can make a big difference. Team play is very important. So that you don't have as big a turnover this year, so you think maybe the team can build that cohesiveness, the team that Parker put together and the one now that's coming back with a few changes. You've got more Canadians. You've added Canadians. We all know that's great. So it looks like the team's going to be as strong or stronger than it's been.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't even think we have to worry about cohesiveness. I think we're as cohesive as we get. I mean, there's a lot of us that we all stay in touch throughout the entire offseason. You know, we're best buddies. Our locker room is great. So cohesiveness, maybe off the field, not even an issue. But yeah, okay, cohesiveness. There's two types of cohesiveness. There's locker room cohesiveness, and there's game time cohesiveness. So can we get on that field on game day and be as cohesive as we are in the locker room? That'll be the question. That's the way we finished off Grey Cup 2012. And we'll see if we can pick up there, come game one this year.
And I wish you a lot of luck in that. And then there's the other cohesiveness and or trait that a team needs to have, and that is they have to be able to have leaders on the team that lead on the field. I have seen so many teams that don't do well that have guys that have credit for being leaders in the dressing room. Leading in the dressing room is great. The chalkboard's wonderful, but it's all about execution on the field as well as leadership. You have some really good leaders on the team on the field, don't you?
We do. We do. Yeah.
Who are some of the guys that you guys look up to? You think I don't mean to offend any other players, but which player? Automatically, one would assume that Ricky Ray would be a pretty good leader type.
No doubt. And he's a silent leader. He's a leader that doesn't say a whole lot. He leads by example. I mean, that's the prototypical lead by example. He makes plays. When he stands up in that pocket and he's got guys winging by him, and he stayed just as poised as if nobody was there, that's leadership. Guys like Jordan Younger on defense, he's back at free safety now, commanding the defense, and he leads by example. He makes big plays. And he makes plays that, he's, what, early 30s now, 32, 33. He makes plays that a 22-year-old couldn't make. There's definitely a few other leaders that that show significant leadership, not only in the locker room, but also on the field. And you're right. It is important that it is seen on the field and felt on the field by the players during the games. That is very important.
Talk is cheap.
I mean, it is important in the locker room, yes.
And rah-rah-rah
talk, yes.
I can tell you that.
You need to follow it up. You need to follow it up with play, with action. Because you're not going to, as a leader, you're not going to keep that respect for long if you're not doing much on the field.
Absolutely. So there's another facet of the game that's really important as well, and that is the players themselves have to be accountable. And there's leadership, and I get all that, and I'm all for that. I respect that. But I think aside from leadership, leadership is great as well, but without guys who are accountable to accept what the leadership is saying, understand it as a group, and again, execute on the field, you can't be a champion. There are so many things it takes to be a champion, and individually, I guess you guys all have to be, you have to be self-motivated to the extent where you're accountable, right?
Definitely. It truly is a combination of, self-motivation combined with, group motivation or group mentality. So each player has to have individual goals, but you also have to have group goals. And at the beginning of last season, I thought it was actually a great idea. Coach Jones made us write down in our very first meetings as a team. This is after, the cuts were made and we knew who made the team and who was going to be playing game one. It was sit down, get this piece of paper in front of you, write down all of your individual goals and write down all of your team goals. And that just right there, I think that was great by him because it really helps you understand that, yeah, you not only have to be playing for yourself, because everyone has personal goals. Everybody wants to be the star. Everybody wants to, make personal achievements or individual achievements. But, individual achievements don't mean crap if you're not making the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Everyone knows that, so... You write down your individual goals, you write down your goals, and that's the kind of attitude you try to carry with you throughout the season. And, I mean, tell you the honest truth, you try to instill a culture that perceives the group goals as more important.
When I talk, we only got a few minutes left, and if you got to go, it's cool.
Nope.
Anyway, I interviewed your mom and dad, and what impressed me. Can I get some water? Can you make an order?
Yeah,
make an order while you're.
I just finished my kids. I need a little break.
So, what I found, I really enjoy talking to your mom and dad.
Yep.
Because for me, absolutely, the most influential thing in a successful person is that mother and father support.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to your mother, and this is especially because we went to see the Edmonton game. My goodness, when I saw that ankle, the quarterback, I forgot his name, I apologize. He's back and running again. He's good. And I think about being a mother on the field, and I asked her about it, and I can feel the sense in her mind that she does sort of recoil a little bit whenever she goes to the game. And how do you deal with playing in such a tough sport? It's not like you're an architect, right? It's what you do for a living.
Yep.
Your parents spent years supporting you. So you started out, at what age did you start playing football?
9 or 10 years old.
Yep. And you decided on your own to...
With a little push from my brother. My brother actually played for 1 year. I would have been, 8 or 9, and I watched him play, and I'm like, I want to play football. The next year, I'm playing football. So.
Have you ever talked to other players about how you started? Because I find that a lot of football players, successful ones at least, had older brothers that turned them on to the game. You're not unusual.
Yeah, no, that's true. It would make sense, especially in Canada, you don't grow up as football being the number one sport that you're going to play as a young kid, right? Maybe you might get into football in high school. That seems to be
as early as it gets.
Yeah, it's usually as early as it gets, but if you're getting into it at 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, yeah, typically either you have an older brother or you have a father or something that played football that might push you in that direction. But otherwise, you have most people kind of steering you in the direction of hockey, right?
Exactly. And what I also noticed with players, and let's see how this works for you. One of the biggest attractions is camaraderie that you have with the players. It's that team. It takes a special mentality, a different kind of player.
Yep.
In football, there really aren't that many cherry pickers. And for those of you that don't know who a cherry picker is, a cherry picker is the guy who waits for the play to come to him, and then he gets the easy shot into the goal, let's say in hockey. He's the guy who's, when you're playing in the backyard or at a rink, he's the guy waiting at the other goaltenders to do his game.
Yep.
In football, those guys immediately get wiped out because they really are, it's a diehard team approach.
Yep.
Is that one of the reasons why you liked it so much?
You know what? There's so many reasons why I like football. I'm not even going to try to pinpoint it to one reason. The one thing I did like about football was the locker room culture. It was just immediate to me that being in the locker room of a football team with the boys was different. It was different from being in the locker room of a hockey team. It was different from being in the locker room of a baseball team. And, you know, these are teams that I played for before I played football. But once I got into that football locker room, I don't know what it was. Can't, not even going to try to sit here and try to guess, but I just felt more comfortable than I ever had before.
And that's a great thing. And I think also maybe even the culture of football is that anybody of any body type can actually play. More than any other sport.
Yep.
So it becomes a cross-section of society and nobody feels left out. Anybody can play the game. You know, whether you all have to be strong, fast, and tough.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different ways to be strong, tough, and fast.
Yep.
You know, the difference between a linebacker or maybe I should say a quarterback and a lineman, there's a tad difference between those two in body type and how they approach the game.
Definitely. So, and the older you get, the more that difference becomes. You know, when you're younger, it's kind of, you know, body types aren't that much different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The coaches are kind of experimenting with who's good at what. But, yeah, once you get up to, 15, 16, 17, the old linemen start to bloom, They start to bloom as the hoggies. You got your guys that kind of lag in size but keep their speed, and those guys become the defensive backs or the receivers. And, it's funny how it develops like that.
Yeah, the physical part of the game for youngsters as they grow up, the game almost allows them all to grow as they wish,
yes,
as they will be. Whereas in other sports, and there are always the exceptions that make the rule in basketball, but slender and mobile is pretty much, there aren't many Charles Barkleys in basketball. But in football, you have, as I said, the different kinds of body types, which at the high school level includes all the kids and gives every kid who may want to become part of a team sport a chance. That's why I was, I think that's important about football. What makes it very interesting.
Definitely.
So you had a chance to play. I guess you went and played in high school. You're 8 years old. You fell in love with the game. I guess you went to high school, played on your high school team.
You know what? I played 1 year of high school football. I would have played more, but there were some teacher strikes and, that. Yeah.
Where'd you play?
Henry Street High School.
There you go.
Yeah. So I transferred to Henry Street for my fifth year of high school, my final year of high school, and then got 1 year of high school football in there. Otherwise, I played for the Oshawa Hawkeyes. That's where I started when I was, 9 or 10, and just played all the way up until I was 19 years old.
There's a couple of real strong areas. That's one in that Oshawa area where they have a great, football league that's independent of the school.
Yep.
As well as Burlington, and there's lots of places that have football leagues. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of them. So what that means then is that now you've been playing outside of school, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, in my opinion, one of the reasons, because I like talking, we talk to people about minor football as well. One of the reasons why the Catholic schools do so well in football is because they haven't had to suffer through the strikes. And the coaches have had, a steady, continuous learning curve for the guys to work with. And I can sympathize, because I've heard it before.
Yeah.
The strikes are kind of hurtful. This isn't a political comment, folks. It is what it is. And there's a lot of talk in Quebec about, their league and how they, the leagues that they have that help them bridge the gap between high school and college. So you went from high school to college. What college did you play in?
McMaster,
okay.
McMaster, yeah.
So McMaster has a bit of a reputation for being a pretty good school.
Yeah, best school in the country. Best school in North America, actually.
You have a few McMaster
guys. Don't buy it.
You have a few McMaster guys.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's Chris Van Ziel, Mike Bradwell,
yep.
Andrew Jones. Nobody else as of right now, but who else played at McMaster that used to be on Toronto? Trying to remember. But yeah, a bunch
matter.
Of guys around the league.
McMaster's a great school. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the real good news is you're gonna get to play at your second home when you go to play for Hamilton. Play Hamilton, you'll be playing. No, you won't be playing
McMaster.
Well, you're playing McGill.
Yeah, we should have been at McMaster, but I won't get into that. I don't know the full story, but it's unfortunate.
That's all politics. To make it short, it doesn't look like McMaster was pulling for Hamilton to be there, so
yeah,
it didn't happen. And it doesn't matter why. It is what it is. But what's it going to be like playing on old stomping grounds like McGill?
At Guelph.
The Guelph, sorry.
Guelph.
I'm going Montreal.
Yeah, now. Yeah. Well, we're playing at McGill either way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking about.
Guelph, there's a small part of me inside that's kind of looking forward to it. I think, but you know what? At the same time, I only have to play there, once or twice, whereas the Hamilton fans have to go up there, I think, nine times.
Absolutely.
Or eight times, because there's one in Moncton. I can be a little more excited than them, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, not only that, for the first time in, I can't remember, probably back going dating back to the 50s, the Argonauts are going to play at Varsity Stadium this year. They're going to play an exhibition game against the Montreal Alouettes.
You know it. Yeah.
Looking forward
to that.
And there's some talk that testing ground. What do you think about playing outside if that happens?
I think it's great. I think it's going to be a good experience for the fans. It's throwback. It's bringing it back to the day. It's history. There's nothing more that can be said other than it's historic. And I am looking forward to playing there on a field where many Grey Cups have been played. You know what I mean? Many important games have been played, won, lost. It's going to be a treat.
Yeah, and I think they have grass. I don't think they have.
No, they do have turf. They put in turf. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I was hoping for you that wasn't.
Yeah, they just renovated a couple years ago, so it's now it's a pretty nice stadium. It's got turf. And
Lori looks excited, like she wants to say something. I think we should give her the mic.
Yeah.
I think a great experience as long as it's not raining. Of course, you know that I like the metal umbrella.
Exactly.
So now when it rains, it's Lori's fault.
There you go. And just be careful with the metal umbrella. Yeah, no, it's going to be a great experience for us. And I know I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk to Lori today. And, of course, Jason Pottinger. And we had, of course, Jared Harris as well. And Aaron William Freeland. And what do you think? I was going to forget you. Do you want to say something before we go?
Are you sure?
Well, this is great. Jason.
I might be a Bucks G-boy, but I love Jake Pottinger. I can't suck. Argos, I won't say what they do.
Oh, well, that's not nice. Oh,
we drink from the cup.
And from you, Frank.
That's
oh,
not
really?
Nice.
You mean the 2012 Grey Cup champion?
Yes.
You know, I was going to play.
I was going to play
my tie cat.
When was the last time the tie cat?
But I'm not doing it anymore.
You know what? I'm not a player. I'm just a fan.
Let me remind you, 1999.
Oh, 2 decades.
Wait a minute.
99, 2013, 3 decades.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca. ARGO!
Then we'll go out.
If I had the
perfect.
Stairs,
perfect.
And I had the ass of a crow.
And episode, please.
I fly over the city.
Yeah,
that was
awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Sit on those bastards below.
Yeah.
Are you done with Jay?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't go to the game today.
Hey,
Serendipitous. We had an Argo on, the Roxy, and then the TFL.